Have you ever wondered if you could break the cycle of limiting thoughts about who you are and who you could be? Have you ever wished you could embrace challenges, struggles, and setbacks as a source of growth? Welcome to Amped, where we'll supercharge your success with high performance and mindset coach, Dr. Aaron. You'll learn the strategies, skills, tools, and techniques to make a living doing what you love. We'll discuss scientifically backed strategies to improve your mindset and ultimately your bottom line. It's time, your time, to step into greatness. Get ready to get amped. Here's Dr. Aaron.
Welcome to the Amped podcast. This is Dr. Aaron, your high performance business coach, the success psychologist, speaker, and best-selling author. And I am like giggly excited about this podcast we have today. I'm so excited to introduce to you someone who has created a business with the intention of helping us get clients. And so if you are in business, you are going to love this podcast. And I want to introduce to you Mary Kravitz. Mary Kravitz is a client generation expert and international speaker. So she helps entrepreneurs significantly grow their businesses without working nights and weekends. You have got me curious. Using her methods, the majority of her clients quickly increase, listen to this, their income 50 to 100%. Clients include the former CFO of Microsoft North America, thought leaders in the coaching industry, and rising stars in a variety of other professions, including doctors, lawyers, consultants, graphic designers, and CPAs. Okay, Mary has this in common with me. I didn't know this. She's an avid roller coaster enthusiast and a kayaking volunteer for a wildlife protection program in Morro Bay, California. Welcome to the podcast, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you so much for coming. You know, we met online and we're growing businesses together, and I just love what you're doing in the world, helping us business owners create success without like completely, you know, losing our mind in the process. That was my word, not yours. So let me tee this
yes.
up. So something that's interesting about high performers is they have high performance level fears. And one of our fears is that it's going to take the same amount of effort, time, energy, hours to get to the next level in business that it took us to get to that first level. And we can look at that and we can say, oh, good Lord, I don't have any more hours. Oh, good Lord, this is going to do me in. And when high performers really think about growing and scaling, that's usually where they want to end up quitting, because that's not why they got into business in the first place. So I cannot wait to hear about your message. And tell us a little bit about, we're going to talk about, you know, getting clients with ease, which I love, mm-hmm. and owning your value in the marketplace. So let's just dive in. What do you see as the biggest mistake us entrepreneurs are making in valuing our services?
Well, you know what? I have to tell you that there are just so many, everybody's got their little foibles, their little quirks and tweaks of what it is that their approach that is just a little off the mark. When you're talking about high performers, it's usually, I love what you said about, they think that what got them here, like the same amount of energy and activity and everything, is going to take them to the next level. And that can completely screw them up. You know this.
Totally.
Because big changes will take you off the path of what is working and what's successful. And so it actually becomes harder because you're smarter, and the changes have to become more nuanced, and the details, the shifts are smaller. And high performers, we want to do big things and we want to take massive leaps, and being able to rein it in and go, what are the small tweaks? What are the little things? That's like, it's like being hobbled, it feels like sometimes. So first of all, that's not the biggest mistake. It's just an interesting perspective that I can really appreciate. At a fundamental level, what I see the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make is thinking that their value resides in their time. Like how much time they give to clients is where their value lies. And so since time is a finite resource, it just automatically caps how far you can go with your business. And now you see this in what you do?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And forgetting that it's the transformation we can provide, and also forgetting that it's the time we save our clients.
Yes.
By helping them with the strategies that we may know as the expert.
Yep, exactly. It takes us so much less time. And this is one of the disconnects that a coach of mine actually really helped to identify and clarify for me. He said, I believe you should be paid the most for what comes to you the easiest.
Amen. I always say, Mary, easy is not sleazy. easy means mastery.
Yes.
Or so, easy might mean alignment.
Yes. Absolutely. So one of the big platforms I stand on, like I really try to, one of the biggest ways that I try to teach and help my clients grow and just anyone I come in contact with is just to really model what I'm talking about. And so in the industry of coaching and training and marketing and growing business and so forth, one of the big things is these programs that are promising to help people grow their business. And they have an overwhelming amount of content. It's 72 modules and daily videos. And it's overwhelming. And what it keeps people in is learning instead of implementing. Learning is a comfort zone that a lot of people who are starting business or evolving their business, it's a place where they like to hang out. So it's not a place I encourage, you know, get out of there into implementation. And so I am always trying to call the attention to the value is not in how much stuff you get, the value, and thinking of this from a consumer side, it's not how much stuff you get, it's how quickly can you get through it. If someone can teach me how to do my messaging in 20 minutes, that's more valuable than a book about it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm obsessed with this. So I always say coaching is like good coaching is like the fast track at Disneyland. You know, Good coaching is supposed to save you thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours. Okay, so I know my listeners are going to want to ask this next question. So are you ready?
I'm so ready.
What is the easiest way to improve your value in business?
Okay, so this is my opinion, but it proves out because of the extent by which it impacts your business. But that is your ideal client messaging. And what I mean by that is when you go out into the world and you are operating at a certain level, you see the world in a certain way, you're serving a certain kind of client, and then you say, okay, actually, I would like a higher level client. I would like a higher price point. There's just this improvement. Well, it's not so much about, I mean, there's some mindset stuff to do, but I really believe that when you have specific steps and specific understanding of what to do, where to go, and what to say, especially the what to say, your insides catch up with your outsides. If you are showing up in the world and doing things and saying things that are in alignment with this higher level that you want to achieve, then your belief system follows because you start to see the results. So your ideal client messaging simply means that you, the words you say, the things that are on your website, the person you keep in mind every time that you present yourself in whatever forum that is, it is at a higher level. So maybe you start your business and you want to serve business owners. And it's just very like, oh, business owners, that's good. And then at some point you're like, you know what? I really want to work with high performance business owners. Okay, when you go to your same events that you go to and you start talking about high performance business owners, who you attract, it completely changes. Who you show up as completely changes. The power of words cannot be overstated.
Right.
The importance of it.
What do you have a specific strategy that can help our listeners understand and find the words that their ideal clients would gravitate to? Because I want to chime in about this too, but I'm loving if you have some specific, because I know people are saying that sounds great. I know, but how do I know? And especially if they've never served that population yet, they're maybe doing their market research and kind of thinking about what they think their clients are thinking about, right?
Okay, so there's a how you know and there's a what you do, and they're two different things. So how you know it's working is that when you're showing up in places where your ideal client shows up in high concentration, that's the first qualifier. You have to know where that is. When you show up there and you're introducing yourself around, and this could be online, it could be in person, whatever. When you are introducing yourself and you've got the right ideal client in mind, you've got your messaging just tuned up, your ideal client should immediately say, I need you. That's how you know. That's how you know. 7 years ago, I went to a 3-day conference or a workshop on how to figure this out. And I spent 2.5 days crying. Because
I cried in the middle of San Francisco street. My friends were like, get out of the street. You're going to get hit by a bus. I've been in my business for 2 years and I don't know how to describe what I do. Like, how is this possible? And they're like, just get out of the street. So hard.
Say it. It is so unintuitive. And people think you should be able to just like sit down, think about it, write it out, and it's done. And that's not what this process is, because there's a couple of things. I have three things to help guide this a little bit. Okay. So your message is not your method.
Yep. Say it again.
Okay. So your message is not your method. It's not what you do, how you do it, your engineering background. It's not your method. People don't care. Your method, your message is not your mission. Okay. It's not your mission in most cases. There are exceptions to every rule, by the way, but 99 times out of 100, your method is not your mission. Your method is your message is not me, me, me.
Yep. Love it.
Those are the three things. So when your message, the job of a message is to accurately reflect the moment before your ideal client is ready to hire you.
Oh my gosh. That is so good, Mary. That is so good. Okay, this is what I want to add something to this. I have recently been really, I call it listening with my business ear, right? Like listening with my messaging ear to ideal clients that are signing up with me, and I'm listening of what they're saying, and they say words that would not, like you said, intuitively come to me. So they say things like, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I feel like my business is exploding, but I'm going to get in the way. Like things I would never think of saying in my copy, but they will tell you what your copy should be. And so when people ask you in a networking meeting, like you're saying, Mary, you can use those examples. You can say, well, I do coaching, but let me describe to you what a recent client of mine said. Like you can use their words even. I think that's a fun little trick to use, right? So let me tell you about a client I saw last week that he was like, you know, I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. So I help people stop that, you know? I love
and
that.
And I think a clarification around that too is making sure to use the words of the people who hire you.
Right.
The people who inquire and are talking to you, make note of them, because if they hire you, make note of the words. But it's to get really dialed in, it's about hiring you. Now, another thing about your message, about messaging that attracts your ideal client, it might be boring to you. My introduction is so boring, it puts me in a coma every time. Because I just am like, I don't care. This is just what I do. This is not that exciting. And I think there's this huge pressure of your messaging, like what it's supposed to do all these things. And the fact is that communication along the spectrum of marketing and sales, I think of it as starting with someone being a stranger and ending with them being a client. What you say to them, your messaging along that continuum is very specific. And we know this intuitively, but we just don't know how to organize it. If you think about it, if you think of someone out of order in this, you'll be able to relate to this. Think of the person who shows up at a networking event, meeting people for the same time, he's dealing with strangers, and he's throwing cards at you saying, hey, have you ever thought about buying my widget? They're having a conversation, the messaging of a sales conversation with a stranger, and that's completely wrong. And that's where a lot of people, they just lose momentum in the client generation process.
Oh my gosh, they shoot themselves in the foot. Yeah. Talk about losing momentum. Yes, it's actually repulsive. Like people will repel from that. It's just nature,
absolutely.
You know, human nature. Yeah. Oh, love it. Okay, so, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the thing is, a lot of times it's not that obvious. I mean, it just is not that obvious where the tweaks need to be made. A lot more often people are using prospect language with leads, which means they're having a sales conversation when someone else has just said they're curious. And it's that subtlety. That's where the high performers have a lot of opportunities. That's where I work with some of my clients. It's like making those little adjustments to the language so they have less drop-off in their client generation process. They close more deals, being really specific and understanding how the progression of language.
I love that. And I love also, as a psychologist, applying the psychology of language and sales and influence. And it is those small little tweaks of like, well, you know, if a client asks you a question, you can bounce it back to them and say, well, tell me what you mean by that before I answer. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to stay in the lane of kind of being in control, so to speak, of how the conversation is going. And that is a really effective way to do that. You know, if I say high performer, that might mean something really different to someone else. It might even mean like, I don't want to be a high performer. They have to work all the time. Well, my definition of that is totally different than that. So you really want to make sure your linguistics, your understanding of words is super important, right?
Yeah. It's more important to say the words that your ideal client is thinking rather than the ones you are thinking, because you're too smart. You're too smart. You're going to say all the things that are smart and make you want to look good and capable. And really, people, they have to be able to identify and relate and say, that's me. That's the job. I start all messaging from the introduction. And the job of an introduction is to sort your ideal clients immediately.
And have them say, that's me. How did you know? Like, it's like you're reading my brain, right?
Exactly.
So here we have you and I, two very successful, high-performing business women. And we both struggled with this. And what I want to say about this is, give yourself the ability and the permission to play around with this, to mess up, to have people in a networking meeting like say, what? I don't get what you do. Like, that's information that can supercharge your success, because it's great when you get what I call the lean in, when you finally get your messaging and people are like, oh my gosh, tell me more. I need you right now. But it took you and I both a little bit of tweaking, right? And you and I
people
get there quickly, but by learning these things, but give yourself the permission to experiment, you know?
Experiment and be really careful who you are taking advice from around your messaging.
Yes.
I mean, people will tell you how much they love your introduction or love your messaging, but if you're not getting clients, it's not good enough. If people don't understand your messaging and they're not your ideal client, don't worry about it.
That's okay too.
The job is not to make everybody understand.
Nope. I love that. I love that distinction.
You would have to spend 2 hours talking about this, because I totally could. Just anytime you want, Erin.
Yeah, done. Let's just call it. Just call it good. Yeah. Sorry, everyone. We're on to be on for hours. I know. I geek out over this stuff. Okay.
Me too.
Okay, so let's talk about us women business owners who, as we're growing, we know we need to raise our prices, and then we do that. But what do you notice happens with women business owners, especially? And I can't wait to have this discussion. So what do you see women doing that holds them back as they're raising their prices?
Yeah. So I laugh because this happens so often. It's like clockwork, and I have a better way to deal with raising prices. So a lot of times what'll happen is I get hired for this a lot. People go, I know I need to raise my prices, but I don't know how. Great. And so we take a first stab at it. And what we want to understand is that you want to raise your prices for the services you're delivering, saying I'm more valuable than what I am charging. I'm going to charge more. So what generally happens for me is I will work with a client through the pricing. We'll restructure it. We've got a spreadsheet, however we want to organize it. They go away and come back. And the next conversation, invariably, what they will do is they'll add services to justify the price increase.
So
it's taking more of their time, or they're adding in, like I worked with a doctor once and she added in supplements, which of course it's actually a cost to her. And this is very, very common. You want to justify it instead of just standing
really,
in.
It's poor math because you end up charging less than sometimes, right?
Yes.
If you're adding in more time and stuff.
Absolutely, you seriously are, and I've done it too. It's so embarrassing when I look at it. I'm like, oh my god, did I really? Because I did this once where I said, well, I really want to go from 3 month programs to 6 month programs. I just really feel like that's the right way to serve people, and it's also a good thing for my bottom line. And somehow the translation, it's like per month I ended up charging less. I was like, what? Did I really?
Oh, I know. We don't know what we're doing with that. I know. So really, how do we prevent that? How do we think about that differently? I mean, knowing it's one thing, how do we get that right in our brains?
Well, again, I come from the perspective of get really clear about what to do instead of, now you're more, I love this because we have two really distinct perspectives on this. I'm like, what actions, how do we clarify the actions to become very, very easy for you to step forward in, and the what happens internally follows, like the mental piece. So there's a lot of different things you can do, and it really depends on what kind of increase you're looking for. One way to do increases is to let people know ahead of time, because a lot of times our concern is springing something on someone, being like on a current client, being rejected. So what a lot of, like I've worked with very informally, usually as they're doing my hair or nails, I work with nail and hair techs. They actually don't hire me, but just in conversation, I end up talking about this stuff. And they end up putting up a little sign 2 months in advance that their rates are going up. Just to let you know, my rates are going up. That helps. The other thing is an incremental increase, a 10% increase for each new client until you hit the number you want. And this is another huge place where bad results come out of trying to raise prices, where you say, you know what? Okay, I'm charging $20,000. I need to be charging 50. I really need to be at 50. There's just no. So you go out and you're like, I'm going to do this and I know it. And what you don't know is you have not gotten there inside yet. And so I have literally watched people go from, I'm going to use the example number of 20 to 50, but I've watched them go out there and they create reasons why they should not only not charge 50, give people a discount from where they were charging before. So there's this huge backlash where, they're a good client. And so I'm going to do 15 because the 20 to 50 mentally, they just could not get there. They just,
you know, there's this phenomenon, Mary, right? Where people who win the lottery, they lose all their money. And the people that earn the money over 20 years change and become along the way into the leader that they need to be to manage that kind of success. And so that reminds me a lot of that. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, you just snap back to where you are comfortable. And so the way to ease out of the comfort zone that has been very successful is you decide where you want to be. And actually, one way to lock this in is to, when you're talking to prospects, talk about that high number. So let's say your number is 50,000. So, you know, this program is, my regular pricing is 50,000, and what I'm doing right now is I'm running a special, and it's 20 or 25. And what that does is it lets you start to settle into, you know, create that mental file of 50,000. That's where I need to be. That's where I need to be. That's where I need to be. And then,
what do you think of this strategy? So this is how I did it, and I want your true opinion. So as I was kind of raising my prices, I was kind of gauging also what my ideal client, how they responded. And if my ideal clients were like saying, awesome, sign me up right now, it gave me a little bit of indication that I could have gone a little bigger maybe. Like there wasn't even a pushback. And so I kind of learned with them. Is that reasonable? Is that healthy?
Yeah. As long as I always say your pricing should be at where you're about 85% comfortable. The number should make you sweat a little bit.
Right, a little bit. It should seem a little obnoxious, right? Like, not totally obnoxious, but just a little.
Yes. So, but you have to have enough confidence so that you can say it without your voice quavering. I mean, if you don't buy it, then you won't.
Right.
There's just the way it goes.
So that was how I worked, too. I was like, well, I'm going to work my way up into this because I'm growing with this. And... Mm-hmm. Okay,
absolutely.
I'm a realist in terms of, you know, the marketplace also. And so what I mean by that is, I want your opinion on this. You know, even though I could say I am worth $100,000 for a month, if no one is paying me, I can be right or I can be broke. And so I think it's that balance of finding that price point, but that not only you're comfortable with, but that the marketplace will pay for. But maybe that's wrong thinking. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, this goes to where do you show up? Because if you show up to small town chamber functions and you're looking for high performers who are willing to pay $100,000 for a month, you're showing up in the wrong place. So no matter how dialed in your messaging in is or how confident you are, those people are not going to gather there in high concentration. It's just not going to happen. So it's less about what the market will bear as to what market are you in. And this is one of the really hard things when you evolve your business. And I've experienced it. I'm kind of experiencing it a little bit right now. It's like I need to evolve to the next level and I'm well established in a certain community.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Yeah. So it's kind of like
playing in a new playground.
Do I need to play in a new playground? Do I need to offer more leveraged offerings to stay within the price point of the community I'm in? Do I need to be willing to just up level and see how it plays with the community the market I'm in, and then just maybe have fewer people? I mean, I always want to give incredibly simple answers. I want to give definitive things, but the truth is there's so many different areas to consider as you're moving that it's critically important to have consistent mentorship from someone who has accomplished what you want to accomplish.
You just said something key that I'm thinking of here too, that I bet our listeners are thinking. At some level also, the question I think we need to ask ourselves is, who do we want to work with? So not just how can I make the most money or how can I, you know, it's, am I staying in alignment with what really gives me joy?
Yep.
Because if you're not clear about the kind of life you want to be living, kind of lifestyle you want to have, the kind of feelings you want to have after working with people, you know, you could get, it's easy to get on that slippery slope of chasing some other version of success that was never your definition or you got you off track. It's like Hugh Jackman, The Greatest Showman. He's like, I got off track, you know? It's like, whose definition of success was this? So I just think
absolutely,
that's a factor that should be in there too. That yes, I could go serve them, but I don't want to is a really great answer for yourself also.
So powerful.
Yeah. It's
so powerful. And it's easier to do that when you get clear about where your ideal client is. When you're like, oh my gosh, I could be over here and this is a target-rich environment, if you will. It's much easier to say no to something when you know where your opportunities, when you've really clarified what that is. And I think
that's a good point.
We were talking earlier about, you know, it's not about how much time you give that's your value. And when you're looking as a consumer, it's not about how much content you get, it's how knowledgeable the person is. And with that, like what we're talking about, the way that I've approached it is I have six areas that I look at with client generation. And when you dial those in and get very specific, and part of it is your values, that's the foundation, your values and your vision. It's understand.
Right.
And those are like bookends to your business.
Right.
Who
right.
are you?
They're like the core.
And where do you
right?
want to go?
They're like the compass for the ship. You know, I love that.
So narrowing it down and just becoming very intentional with each piece of your business and narrow. I heard someone say, you don't need a bigger hammer, you need a sharper nail. And that's what we're talking about, that level of being totally intentional and aligned with who you are and the life that you really want and how you want to serve people.
And then they will all of a sudden just show up in your life when you do all these strategies. You'll be like, wait, that was way too easy. But it's because behind every principle is a promise, and behind successful strategies is success. And so as we bookend this podcast, I loved how you began when you said, figure out where your ideal clients are and go and be with them. And I think that that is such a foundational piece that seems so simple, but changed my business and made me look and appear extremely productive and successful. But I didn't hang around anyone that wasn't my ideal client. So it supercharged my success. It completely skyrocketed the pace at which I went, because I was clear about hanging out with those people. And so set yourself up for that success. That's a very simple thing you can take away from this conversation. Are there any closing thoughts you have, my dear friend?
Oh gosh, can we talk for another hour? No. I think one of the most important things in business for me is, like you said, easy isn't sleazy. I woke up this morning, just to be totally vulnerable, just very frustrated. I'm at the end of the year. This is what the end of the year looks like for me. I'm frustrated. I wanted to do more. I wanted to have more. I wanted to be more. Now I'm looking at next year. And so it's this place of frustration. And the tool that got me out of it, and I'm able to really show up and feel very energized today and got a lot done already this morning, is there's a phrase I use, and I just repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over until I get my head out of the dumps or wherever you keep your head when it's not working correctly. Here's the question. Am I willing for this to be easy?
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're ending there. That's incredible. I always say, I wonder how this can be easy. And I also ask myself, like, what's the easiest way to make this happen? And that's called flow, my friends. That's what that word is, where it's fun and it's a journey of curiosity and adventure. Oh my gosh, we got to wrap up. We're going over time. I could talk to you all day,
okay.
Miss Mary Kravitz. You are brilliant. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. Thank you for playing in this playground. Thank you for the work you do in helping people get clients, which is helping them share their impact with the world. Thank you, Mary.
Yes. Thank you, Erin.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for joining the AMP podcast. You know, the AMP life is your best life. It's where you're activated, motivated, productive, energized, and disciplined. We will see you on the next podcast, but thank you so much. And it's time, it's your time to step into your greatness. Bye.
Now that you've been given the permission and tools to amplify your life, it's time to amplify your purpose, passion, and profits. For more tools on how to make money doing what you love, visit www.thepsychologyofmission.com. And for more episodes, visit the Tenacious Living Network at trlstation.com. It's time, your time, to step into your greatness and get amped.